Good morning. Grace and peace to you. Good to see everyone there, everyone here, everyone out there, and those who will watch later. We're thankful we have the technology and the ability to do that, to spread the word. We want to talk about the word of God this morning. I've said time and time again that the word of God is so important. It's a word of truth. If that's which conforms to reality, it's that which tells us about reality. We need to believe it, know it, teach it, live it, and talk it. It's why the world is in such a mess today. Because the world is not following the Word of God. Back in the day, John chapter 8, I'm not going to go there. Jesus called the devil the father of lies. And he's done his work well. Especially in our generation. Lies take many forms. Just plain lies, not telling you the truth. Half-truths, I got to tell you part of the story. I'm going to misrepresent myself or somebody else. Denials of the obvious. One of the favorite things of today is to redefine words and terms. Well, that word doesn't mean that. It means this. And that becomes a lie, you see. A world permeated by lies will always be in chaos and people will be at odds with one another. We have to believe that. We have to know that. Because why is that? Because nothing is certain. And we experience that today because everything is an opinion, right? There is no sure objective truth. Everything is an opinion, and that is why everybody is at everybody's throats. They're not accepting the truth of God's word. And that is why we as the church have got to belt that out and teach it and tell people. Now, hopefully they'll listen. But it's our part to do that because the world will never get it anywhere else, will they? The world is never going to pick up this book on its own and start reading. Not very, very rare that people will do that. Let's go to Psalms 12. And I've brought some goodies here, some trinkets to illustrate this lesson. We haven't had an object lesson for a while. Shirley and I have been reading at this point through the Psalms as we're going through the scriptures. And this verse jumped out at me. It's like, wow, how wonderful that is, how important that is. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. They're truthful through and through. There's no impurities. There's no falsehoods. There's nothing in there that God doesn't want in there. We've talked about that before. Sometimes we wonder, why is that in there? Well, it's in there for a purpose and a reason. Maybe we haven't discovered that yet. But there's nothing there that God doesn't want in there. It's the pure, unadulterated word of God, the truth of God. Pure words. And to illustrate that, I brought these commemorative coins. The Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island are 90% silver. I think they were a gift from my father to me. Now, you can buy some other coins and all that's 99.9 or whatever, gold or silver. But just to illustrate, there's not hardly any impurities in this coin, in these two coins. Pure silver. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us about God's Word. It is pure. It's the truth. We need to believe it. We need to take it to heart. And in, you know, in today's world, when you got all this miasma of lies and opinions and all that going on, people don't know what to believe. They really don't. And we've got what to believe, and we've got the truth, and we've got to share it whenever we have a platform or an opportunity. So we want to talk about the Word of God this morning. We've got some more illustrations here to understand what it is, what it's like, and why we need to get it out there. John 17, 17, the first thought. You know this verse. In Jesus' prayer, talk about the authenticity of God's Word. We've had DVD sessions here in the past to show the truth of God's Word, that the Bible is God's Word, that it's not been tampered with by men. It has come down to us as God would have it come down to us. And we can rely on it. But people haven't interjected things in there that shouldn't be there, and there's not been things taken out that should have been, or that shouldn't be taken out. That everything is there. Jesus says in John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. We as a church have got to start believing that again. Over the years, over the centuries, even over the millennium, you know, the Word of God has been beat on. People have tried to say it's a myth, it's a fable, it's a lie, it doesn't conform to reality. The world has done a great job in attacking the Word of God. Sadly, some of it has been by biblical scholars and even some preachers saying, well, I don't know about that. That's terrible when that happens. We've got to start rejecting all of this hearsay about the Bible and accept it as the Word of God. It's been proven to be true. Some examples today, people saying it's outdated, that society has changed. We're in a postmodern society. I don't even know if that's what they use anymore. I don't know who comes up with these terms. We're just living. You know, we like to categorize and compartmentalize history and life, but I don't know if God does that. And because of the changes, you know, we have the teaching in the scripture, husband is the head of the wife. And of course, feminism comes along and says, no. The woman is exactly equal to the husband. So you can see where that has gone. Now, certainly in many things, a woman is equal to the husband, but the husband is the head of the wife, and he sets the tone and so forth. We're not going to get into the depths of that, but this is something that's attacked. You know, we're beyond that now. We're beyond that now. In the whole LGBTQ movement, you know, one man, one woman for life, that's marriage. No. That's changed now. Now we're woke. We're up to date. Now you can have two men can be a marriage, and two women can be a marriage, or whatever. You know, now they're advocating other arrangements. You see what happens when you undo the foundations and when you say this isn't true? Everybody has an opinion and an idea about what they want. And it just becomes a mess. And that's the problem. They try to say it's not inspired, but just the thoughts of men. They like to attack Paul on this one, that he was just teaching his own thoughts because he didn't like women. They try to say Paul was a misogynist. And so he says, well, women shouldn't be elders, they shouldn't be preachers, and they have to submit to their husbands. Well, that's the Word of God. And you got to put it in context, but that's the Word of God. That's not Paul's thoughts. That's not because Paul hated women. But you know, we get uncomfortable because why? See, that's different from what's out there. We've got to learn to stand up for what's right, understand what's true, and preach it and talk it and live it. We got to do that. And of course, the old and Dawn has led us through so much of this. The Genesis account of creation is wrong, right? It didn't happen that way, and we're not going to get into all that. But what do you believe? Do you believe what God wrote in his book? Or what some scientists tried to say happened? We've got to decide. I have to decide, and you have to decide. Is this a truth of God or not? And if you decide that any of it is not the truth of God, you might as well throw the whole book away. Because you don't know how to determine what is the truth of God, neither do I. The only way to know is by what's in this book, and does it conform with reality? So we've got to start believing again the Bible is the true Word of God. We've got to start living it. We've got to start talking it. We've got to start teaching it. We've got to start standing up for it, and we've got to stop being ashamed that it is God's Word. It's from God. It's His Word. It's His truth. It's what conforms to reality, and we've got to get it out there. There's people in your family that needs to hear this. There's people in your neighborhood that needs to hear this. There's people where you work that need to hear this. It should be our love and our joy to spread the truth, to get people on the right track, on that narrow way to God. It should be. We should not be afraid to do it. Second thought, the power of the Word of God. Let's go to Jeremiah 23. Now, sometimes we say, well, you know, it's just a word. But the Word of God is not like the word of men. The words written in Holy Scripture are not like the words written in a textbook or a philosophy book or some essay or some journal. It's the truth. And God has made that word powerful. The power is in the Word. It's not in me and it's not in you. The power is in the Word of God, and we have to start believing that there is power in this word to create faith and to change lives. Jeremiah 23, starting with 25. This is a little bit lengthy. I'm not going to go through all of it. But to set this up, you know, Jeremiah as a prophet had one of the most difficult ministries I think ever given to a man or a woman. Because there he is, some of the Israelites had already been taken captive to Babylon. It was that time that God had said, I've had enough, and you're going into captivity. And Jeremiah was still in Jerusalem, and his task was try to convince the people, including the king, to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. And God said, if you do that, you can stay here and I'll take care of you. But nobody wanted to listen to him because, you know, that's odd. Why would we surrender to an enemy? Well, it's because that was the truth of God. God's what God wanted them to do at the time, but nobody would listen. And you can read through Jeremiah. He's often called the weeping prophet. And he had a hard row to hoe because nobody would listen. And here we're going to start with 25, and you're going to see part of the problem was there's all kinds of these false prophets around saying, what Jeremiah's saying is a lie. He's not telling you the truth. So starting in 25 and 23, I have heard what the prophets have said who have prophesied falsely in my name, saying, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long? Is there anything in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy falsehood, even these prophets of the deception of their own heart, who intend to make my people forget my name by their dreams which they relate to one another, just as their fathers forgot my name because of Baal? The prophet who has a dream may relate his dream, but let him who has my word speak my word in truth. What does straw have in common with grain, declares the Lord? He's comparing straw, meaning the false words of the false prophets, to grain, which really brings life and sustenance. That's his word. He says they're two different things, totally. 29. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who steal my words from each other. Behold, I'm against the prophets, declares the Lord, who use their tongues and declares, the Lord declares. Behold, I'm against those who have prophesied false dreams, declares the Lord, and related them and led my people astray by their falsehoods and reckless boasting. Yet I did not send them or command them, nor do they furnish this people the slightest benefit, declares the Lord. That's how much the lie benefits people. Nothing. Not the slightest benefit at all. You know, one word comes to mind when I read that. Beware you who teach falsehood, false doctrine, and spread lies. Beware. God is against you. But right there in the middle of that, what do we see? My word is a fire, and it's like a hammer. All right? So, I should have asked Denzel to bring one of his big hammers this morning, one of the 9-pounder things, you know, or whatever. But we got the hammer. Breaks down barriers, pounds on the heart, destroys arguments. Okay, this is the word of God will do this, you see. It's designed to do that because it is the truth, and it works on the conscience. And God has put eternity in the heart. It's designed to do that, and it will do that. It's a hammer. And then it's a fire. Now, I apologize for this. Okay? I apologize for this. I have a nice old, one of those old galvanized wash tubs. Maybe you still have one of those around somewhere. I was going to bring one of them and put some kindling in there, maybe a log, you know, get that baby going. But Shirley wouldn't let me bring the gasoline. I didn't understand that, but, you know, so I had to bring this. The word is a fire. What's that mean? It burns away impurities. Okay? It will let the individual know what is truth and what is not truth. That's what the word of God does. In Jeremiah 20 and 9, I'm not going to go there. Jeremiah said even this. He said he was so weary of proclaiming this word and having all this feedback, you know. Nobody wanted to listen. He says he just at one point decided, I'm not going to talk anymore. And what's it say there? He says, I couldn't do that because his word was like a fire in my bones and I had to talk. And that's the way each one of us should be who has the Word of God. It should be a fire in your bones that when there's opportunity, you want to spread that, you want to tell it, you want to stand up for it, you want to teach it to people. Because the world needs to hear the Word of God. So it's like a fire. It is a fire. in our hearts and in our minds and in our consciences. All right, let's go to Hebrews 4, probably a more familiar passage for many of us. Verse 12, you've probably heard dozens of lessons from this passage, and it's true. We should still go there and understand it. The power of the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what the Word does for the person who hears it. It divides the soul. It goes deep, you see. And it addresses the thoughts and intentions of your heart. That's not about the speaker. It's about the one who hears it and the one who reads it. And so it convicts, just like the sword. We have a sword. Yes, here we go, Adam. I don't think Mommy will let you play with this. This is not sharp on the edge, but just to illustrate. You know, this used to be, you like it? Okay. This used to be the weapon of choice, you know, from not too many years ago on back, a sword. And it will pierce your body, but God says, my word is living and active. It's like a sword. It'll get inside, in the mind, in the heart, in the conscience, and it will convict and it will cut. The 13th verse. I always like to point this out. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Notice how that changed. It says the Word of God is living and active, but then it talks about, you know, however we have that planted in our head, but then it says, no creature hidden from what? Not its sight, but his sight. Who is the Word of God? Jesus Christ, you see? That's why this Word is living and active. So we have the sword. That over here. We want to understand this. You know, the Word of God is powerful. But like I said, the power is in the Word itself. You and I are not to use the Word like a hammer or like a sword to shred people and to beat people with it. That's not the point. The Word has the power itself. We're to share the Word. We're to speak the truth in love. We're to speak with compassion. Yeah, we need to be bold at times. We need to tell it straight and be firm. But the reason we do that is not to hurt people. It's to help them see the truth and repent. We do it because we love them. And that gets clear back to what do we believe about this book? Do they need to hear it so they can find the Lord or not? And sometimes what's in the book, you know, it can hurt because it says, hey, you're not doing the right thing. And all of us, we've experienced that. And from time to time, we confess our sins to God. We're supposed to. And it convicts us and say, you know, hey, Jeff, you need to do better here. You need to do better there. It's the same way with everybody out there. They need to hear the same thing. But we don't use it to hurt and destroy people. We use it to bring life to people. And it's sad that I know in the past, many in their zeal, shall we say, have really used this word to hurt people. And it should never be used that way. All right, next thought, the enduring quality of God's word. We could go to several passages for this. Luke 21, 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words will not pass away. It will never become irrelevant. You know, if we believe this word, then right there destroys a lot of the arguments that people put out there today, doesn't it? It's true from generation to generation, from century to century, from nation to nation, from people to people. It'll never be outdated. Never. My words will not pass away, he said. They're ever true. True as when he spoke them. True as when they were written. They're still true today. They were true in the year 415. They were true in the year 789. They were true in the year 1776. And they're still true today in 2020. They haven't changed. They'll not pass away. You see, we have to believe that. Then our last thought. Let's go back to Psalm 119, first of all. The priceless value of the Word of God for daily living and spiritual life. Many of you know this passage. You've lived with it, quoted it. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We do have a lamp. It's not a very big lamp. I didn't have a lantern. I think lantern might be a better word there. But you know, when Shirley and I use this when the power goes out, we have these kind of lamps to use. And when the power's out, as you know, just about any kind of a light works, doesn't it? This help you see your way around the room or up the steps or to go to the refrigerator and still get your snack. The Word of God shows us how to live day by day. It tells us about relationships. It tells us about how to work. It tells us about use of our money. All these kinds of things to keep us out of trouble. It's a lamp to our feet. And people, you can see that today, people reject this word of God and they make up their own way of living. Greed and selfishness and what have you. And their lives are in turmoil, their lives are a mess, their lives are a wreck. They're addicted to, you know, hundreds of different things, and they wonder what's wrong. Well, what's wrong is you're not living according to truth in the way that God has prescribed so you can have an abundant life. Finally, from John chapter 8. One of my favorite passages, we've been here before, but again, it fits in with the lesson. It's a light for spiritual life, a light to lead to God. John 8:31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, notice, continue, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I see that freedom in a couple different ways, many different ways, but freedom from sin, law-keeping, power of the devil, death, fear of death, all these things we've talked about. You're free from that in Christ. You're free because of the truth, because of what Christ has done. You're free. But then because you are free from those things, you are free to serve God with joy and peace, knowing that you are saved and knowing the truth, You have the truth about life, and you know where you're going. You're free to serve and free to go and free to live your life. You don't have to worry about, do I have it right? I know everybody has questions from time to time about what they're doing, but in the big picture of things, you know what's what. And your feet are on the right path. So, the word of the Lord, it's authentic, it's true, it's powerful, and it's priceless for life, for life eternal. Learn it, believe it, live it, teach it, and talk it. It brings freedom, brings life, and it brings life eternal. Nothing else will do that. And there are people in your circle who need to hear these words. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shady Side Church of Christ, please go to our website at cofcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Shady Side Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.